Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, I'm from Germany, Berlin, and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Fabricateur.
Awesome. So can you just tell me more about your company, what exactly you do and how you got the idea for it?
Right. Fabricateur is the virtual head of operations for direct-to-consumer brands, or more widely, e-commerce brands, I would say. We are solving the out-of-stock problem for D2C brands all around the world, making sure that they're always in stock with the right products.
Awesome. But I guess in terms of like how you got the idea for it, like, did you have your own brand? Like, what made you want to start this actual business?
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. We started very small. Back in 2018, I was sitting with my co-founder, who happens to be one of my best friends from the college. And we both had our daytime jobs, but it wasn't challenging enough, I would say. So we were always looking for something that's more challenging, something that's ours. At that time, he was working at a pre-accounting software company, kind of like the QuickBooks of the Turkish market back then. And he said, like, we have a manufacturing customer base who is struggling with inventory planning. They want to do raw material planning and all. Like, shall we do some little app to solve this problem? And I was like, okay, why not? Let's build something small. It will be enough to pay for our beers on the weekend, nothing more. 2 months later, we just got a huge sign up, like 500 on the wait list. And we had to get serious about what we were building. So that was the time we decided to go full time. We started building as a bootstrap startup. For 2 years, we continued bootstrap. We became profitable. By the time we reached 2020, we had hundreds of manufacturing businesses using Fabricateur for their day-to-day raw material planning. But then we made a pivot because we learned how products are being cooked in the kitchen on the manufacturing side. We got some connections to their customers, like how do they decide actually what the manufacturer needs to produce. From there, we dive into the rabbit hole of inventory planning for the brands, and then we noticed that without solving the demand planning problem of the brands, we cannot actually help the manufacturers. So we switched sides on the table, and then we started helping brands to be more conscious about their inventory decisions, make them more accurate about the purchase orders they sent to their manufacturers. So that was a pivotal point for us where we decided to make this jump.
That's wild. So it's like after really 2 months of... before like your launch, right? Like, you essentially had 500 people sign up for your wait list, and that gave you the spark of like, okay, let's go and do this full time.
Definitely, because we didn't even build a payment system back then. We were not really serious about it. Like, we said, okay, whoever wants to pay, they can do a wire transfer. And then people were literally wire transferring us for like $10 a month or something back then. And once it started to be overwhelming to accept wire transfers, we built the subscription logic behind the app. So it was a very lean approach, step by step.
Awesome. So I guess, like, as of today, obviously, like you mentioned earlier, that you're based in Europe. So, like, are most of your customers in Europe, or are they here in the States? Like, where are most of your customers located?
Yeah. So half of our customers are in North America. 40% is Europe, UK, and the rest is Australia, New Zealand. So I would say the countries where English is being spoken widely and e-commerce is on the rise, they're using our solution.
Awesome. So obviously, e-commerce solutions, it's a very competitive space. So here's tell me more about your product use case, like how you differentiate yourself from your competition.
When people think about competition, they always consider other apps. But if there is one competitor of almost all B2B SaaS applications, is Excel sheets or Google Sheets. So you have to make sure that your solution is comfortable enough to move all of these people out of their comfort zone, which they've been using for maybe decades, and leave the Excel sheets behind and come to your solution. At that point, we identified the critical struggles that they have with the sheets, which was more basically not having the up-to-date data, not knowing like how to move with the sheets, not having an in-depth knowledge about building reports, making mistakes, causing financial losses because of that. So we made Fabricator fail-safe for them by integrating with their Shopify store with a real-time sync. They don't need to worry about the data accuracy. They don't need to worry about the calculations and all. So we gave them the peace of mind at the first place. And that's how we actually stole the hearts of Google Sheet and Excel users in the first place.
So how do you manage that data, right? Because like it can be very hard to plan for production. Like I used to be in supply chain operations and I was working during COVID, as you know, it was very difficult and complicated, weird time, right? So how do you like make adjustments? Are you focused like on seasonal trends or is it different by product line? What does that look like for your business?
Well, every brand is unique. Everyone have their own way of planning. So this could depend on whether they're seasonal businesses. Maybe they're always doing launches and product drops, or maybe they have just like special terms with their manufacturers, which forces them to order every now and then based on some frequency. So Fabricator is quite flexible in that sense. What we do at the back end, we fetch the historical sales data from their Shopify store and we analyze it per SKU. Shopify has products and the variants underneath. So we do it at the atomic level. We go and forecast based on the variant and then build up our reporting based on the product groups, product types, and collections. So starting from the atomic level and going to more holistic view for the brands, so they can look back at the historical sales data and decide whether their future is going to be similar to the past couple of months, past year, or they're going to multiply it with a growth factor. And that's all possible with the platform.
For sure. So obviously now that you're on the Shopify ecosystem, but are you also like available on, for like other platforms like WooCommerce or Custom? Or if not, like what is your vision to get there, or if you're planning on getting there at some point?
That's a great question. It also touches a little bit on our roadmap for this year. So until now, it's been great that we stayed with Shopify. It was a great starting point. It brought us the right type of customers very easily, and the community is very tight. But now it's time to serve customers on other channels as well, starting with Amazon. This year, we are going to be platform agnostic. So Amazon is very much requested, not only because it's a huge market, but also Shopify merchants started to sell on Amazon as well. So it's becoming more omnichannel and we need to support what our customers need. That's the goal for this year. But actually, the grand vision is making Fabricator available to any business who is dealing with physical inventory and handling digital order data. If we have these two, we have the exact same problem that we are solving for e-commerce companies today, and we can solve it easily. And the world is going into that direction, digitizing the order data, which just prepares the perfect launchpad for Fabricator in the next 5-10 years to be available for a vending machine downstairs or a supermarket at your neighborhood.
For sure. But if somebody's like an operations, right, if they're using a large ERP or MRP system, like an SAP or Oracle, something like that, like how would Fabricator give them value or I guess compete with, those large players?
Yeah, actually ERPs are our best friends, because what ERPs are good at is keeping structured data. They're system of record, and that's all we need. If we have the system of record in a very structured way, we can build our forecasting. Most of the ERPs are lacking the forecasting features in themselves, or some of them like SAP offer it for a very high prices. It's not always accessible for SMEs out there. So that's actually our strongest muscle. We know how small businesses operate. We know their path to growth and becoming an enterprise. So we're supporting them on their journey. Fabricator is mostly focusing on that part rather than an enterprise who can afford SAP HANA, which can run like very complex forecasts. That's not our core segment.
But do you think that's like, essentially your vision is to be here for these small players as they scale, and then eventually they'll keep using you, and as they're kind of larger players and they'll, continue to use you in the space, as opposed to trying to get into some of these, huge, multi-billion dollar corporations that you said are already using SAP HANA, and it's very hard to say, hey, listen, like switch over and use our system.
I mean, our first goal is actually to democratize that technology, make forecasting available for anyone with as a no-code platform. That's given. If you have an army of engineers or consultants who can establish SAP HANA for you, then we're talking about a different scale of business. So I'm sure there's some kind of a limit that we need to stop at. I think like the limit for us is like a typical SAP customer is not our point of entry to the market. But if I look at the historical data, customers who started with us, which were making around like 1 million, 2 million a year, now some of them are making 50, 60 million a year. And they're still using Fabricator. Sometimes they use it next to their NetSuite tool, which they bought for ERP. And they're paying like 5, 6K a month for these kind of full tools. And they're frustrated because NetSuite cannot do forecasting as Fabricator is doing it for them. I'm not saying this to bash on like NetSuite, but inventory planning for D2C is very different and difficult. And let me explain why. As a traditional business, you may just, as a traditional business or a tradesman, you would just buy inventory, put a margin on it and sell it on your market, on a marketplace, let it be Amazon. But for D2C, you basically need to split your budget into half. One for generating demand, running digital ads, and the other one is for supplying for that demand. And these two are not always playing in parallel. Like if you pay for your Google ads right now, you will see the impact tomorrow. You will see how it goes up. But for your supply chain, no matter how much you pay for, sometimes you cannot do anything about the lead time. Most of the time, you cannot change the lead time with the money. So if you put it on a financial sheet, kind of P&L, so your expenditure for digital ads is standing here today while you're going to receive your products in 6 months, although you paid half of them. Bridging that gap is an artwork. You cannot do it with a generic forecasting solution. You need to understand the dynamics of D2C and e-commerce to link every dollar that generates demand to a product sourcing, basically.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So in terms of, you know, like the way that you're structuring things now, I mean, how many people do you have on your team? Like, how do you, I guess, even manage customer service if you're scaling up your business?
Someone's at my door.
Oh, God.
I hope they'll go away. We are 10 people right now, and the team is quite distributed. We are a remote first company, and since 2018 we have been doing that before it was cool with COVID, I would say. In terms of customer service, we are actually using Intercom, and Intercom last year, I guess, introduced AI bot called Finn. This started to take a lot of weight off our shoulders. It's going very well because we have a very structured knowledge base. That bot is just learning from the knowledge base and helping us customers to do at least level one support. But for anything that requires an expert touch, all of our developers are actually at the front line. We want everyone to be knowledgeable about the customer's pain, so everyone is replying to customer queries over chat.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
I'm a product guy. I'm coming from a product background. I used to be head of product for a pretty nice fintech before. My co-founder, similarly, he's a developer, but with a very bright mind for a product. One thing that we could have thought about is actually go to market. We always thought like if you build a nice product, it would just fly by. No, it doesn't. You need to think about your channels. You need to invest into those early. Building a personal brand is very important. So if I knew, I would have started building my presence on LinkedIn and Twitter way earlier.
Awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
So 1 year from now, we will have this conversation again. And what will be the updates?
Yeah, exactly. Because like, I mean, you mentioned some things that you're like working on. So I guess like if we're going to talk April 9th of 2025, like, what do you expect to be completed, you know, for your business, growth, things like that?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing is being platform agnostic, going above and beyond Shopify. And the second thing is bringing more AI enabling features. Like if we want to be the virtual hood of operations for the merchants, we need a solution that talks like a human. And in today's world with GPT and all the LLMs out there, it's actually possible to make our software talk like a human. We can ask, hey, Fabricator, like which products do I need to restock? And here's the purchase order list that you need to look at. And it can highlight risks and opportunities just like a human can do.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website, social media, I guess best ways to get in contact?
All right. Okay. So our name is pretty European and it's sometimes difficult for our American customers, but imagine it's Fabricator with K instead of C. So you can find us with that name, fabricator.io. And you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active, so we can leave the link in the description as well. Yeah, and you can just DM me. I'm pretty open talking to merchants and I do all the customer onboarding myself just to be closer to our customer base.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks. All right, bye.